Right, there was one thing I forgot to do earlier, and that's to say that Fred is now sitting at the table. Fred has taken over from Barbara as the head of our links with investors, so welcome to you in your new role.
Thank you.
But we're going to go on to materiality, and Michael.
Yes, thank you, and good morning, everybody. We have a session for you now relating to materiality and following up on the draft materiality practice statement that was published for comment in October of last year. Now, the objective of the materiality practice statement is to assist management in applying the concept of materiality in the preparation of general purpose financial statements. We think it could also be helpful to users in understanding the process that management have applied in preparing those financial statements and applying materiality. Part of the reason for the board developing this draft practice statement was in response to concerns that inclusion of immaterial information in financial reports was contributing to disclosure overload and clutter in the financial statements. And so the goal is, or one of the goals is to help identify immaterial information in order to exclude it, as well as identifying material information that needs to be included in the financial report. Now, the draft practice statement collects together the information on materiality from across IFRS literature, so pulling it together into one place, and doesn't propose any changes to the definition of materiality or to that published guidance, that existing guidance, but instead provides some guidance on how to apply materiality and to make those judgments. The board's proposal when it published the exposure draft was that this would be a non-mandatory practice statement, and the idea being that this would facilitate the educational nature of the guidance, allowing it to take that more educational form rather than an instructive form as we would see in an IFRS itself, and also avoid possible conflicts that there might be with any sort of local materiality laws or regulations. Now, we received 96 comment letters on the exposure draft, and there was broad support for both the objective of the practice statement, and many also agreed with the technical content and also the form that the board had proposed, in other words, the idea of using a practice statement for this. Now, among the feedback that we got both in the comment letters and in outreach meetings that we had was for us to include guidance on the judgment process that is involved. People felt there was one of the things that was lacking from the draft practice statement was a description of the judgment process. And so in response to that request, we've developed what we've included in your paper for today, what we've called a four-step approach to that process of applying materiality. Now, in developing this four-step approach, we've thought about how materiality fits in with the overall process of preparing financial report, as well as the factors that we think need to be considered in determining and making the materiality judgment. And it's this four-step approach that we would like your input on today and your advice on how we can improve it further. It's something that we will be taking also to the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum, the ASAF, next month, and then to the board later on, bringing the comments and the advice that you give us, as well as the comments and advice from the ASAF as well, in developing this approach further. So we'd like your input today on where do we need to include more guidance or different guidance in this approach, and what ideas have you got to improve it further? We also want to get your thoughts on how this four-step approach is this, as well as going to be helpful in identifying what is material, do you think it'll be helpful in identifying what isn't material as well? Because that is an important part of the impetus behind developing this practice statement. Now, the definition of materiality and the definitions included in the paper refers to information being material. So the focus is on information. And there are two examples that we've provided in the paper. One which is looking at an example tax reconciliation note, and the other describes the issue of climate change and impact on an entity's financial report. And we've provided these examples to help facilitate the discussions and to perhaps give some sort of context in which you can then talk about this four-step approach, so that there is some common aspects of the context in which you discuss the four-step approach. So this advice on the four-step approach, tell us using these examples if also what additional information you might want to see in the four-step approach. How helpful is it? What more would you like? There are, as I say, two examples. Now, we're asking two groups to start with their discussions on the tax reconciliation example, and that's the group that will be meeting here in the boardroom with Steve chairing that, and the group that will be meeting in St. Paul's room with me chairing that group. And then the other two groups, so that's the group meeting in the Victoria room with Gary Kabarek chairing, and the group meeting in the Canon room with Rachel Nubley chairing, for those two groups to start with their discussion on the climate risks example. If there's time after you've discussed your first example, and hopefully there will be, then please move on to the other example as well. But we wanted to make sure that both of those examples got covered for our report back and discussion afterwards. We have until 11:55 to discuss in the breakout groups, and then we're meeting back here at midday to have the report back. And I've asked the people chairing each of those breakout groups to provide that report back to the whole group. One additional thing I just wanted to mention, to help with the tax reconciliation discussion, we've got some copies of the extract from the tax standard IS 12, which is just the disclosure extract, in case you wanted to refer to that. I suppose that perhaps the more important thing today, though, is about sort of thinking about the issue, thinking about what's important, and so that's why I wanted discussion to focus on that, and so we didn't want to provide you with the disclosure lists before today, because we wanted the discussion very much to be on thinking about what you think might be important in these contexts of these examples. So, if I can stop there and ask for any questions before we move on to our breakout groups.
I think one point should be commonly understood by all the four groups. The question which is arising is that what are you going to discuss? This is a practice statement was issued. Now this four-step approach is proposed to be made a part of the practice statement, which will eventually become a guidance note. Are you discussing something which is going to be part of that, or are you discussing something which is going to be part of the educational material?
Okay.
Presumably, the educational material should not come in this group. So I assume that it will become part of the exposure. Is my understanding correct?
Yes. The idea is that the four-step approach will become part of the practice statement. So that's what we are wanting to do, subject to the feedback that we get from yourselves, from the ASAF, and then when we discuss it with the board as well at a later date.
Okay. Christoph?
When I read the paper, it appeared that the scenario that this four-step approach is looking at is that a preparer first prepares all information, and then from the pool, the four-step approach tells me how to pick from the pool. In practice, it's oftentimes the question, should I prepare the information at all? But for the purpose now of the breakout, we assume in this scenario in which we prepare everything and only select from what is prepared. Is that right?
Not necessarily. I mean, that is a useful point. And I think, you know, it's part of the input that we're looking for today. I suppose when we were preparing this, what I had in mind was that the preparer, knowing their company, would at least have in their mind knowledge about the particular issue, and then would be drawing on that knowledge to pull together the information that and to select the information that would be included in the financial report. But you raise a valid question about the process, and it's very much about the process that we're trying to assist with here. And so that would be something to, yes, include in the discussions.
Malcolm, yes.
I mean, I welcome this attempt and that we're going to discuss it. Could you, Michael, just give us a high-level overview of what other comments came in during the comment letter process and how you're, you know, proposing to react to those comments, those key comments?
Okay. I suppose this was one of the more common comments that we received on the in terms of, you know, changes that people wanted to see. Another area that people did look at and question was the how far companies are expected to go in identifying the users of their financial reports and understanding their information needs and expectations that they might have in understanding what therefore would be material. And that's something that we are looking at and will be bringing to the ASAF meeting next month to talk about, in addition to this four-step approach. That's probably the other more common or significant issue that we had. There were a whole list of others, but
I mean, one of the comments we made in our comment letter, and I don't know if we were the only people making it, but paragraphs 4 to 6 of the practice statement seem to imply that materiality used for financial statement preparation would be the same as how our lawyers would look at materiality or stock exchange regulators would look at materiality. We disagreed with that. We felt there would be different levels of materiality. So I don't know if we were the only people raising that point, but I just would like your comment on that point.
Okay. We did receive a number of comments about the reference to others. And I think what we will want to think about as we sort of respond to those comments is, first of all, that making clear that the guidance that we issue will be the application of materiality in the preparation of financial reports. Now, materiality is also used for other things as well. And whilst some might say that its use in the preparation of financial reports might also be helpful elsewhere, our focus, I would say, should be on the preparation of financial reports. And what others draw as helpful from what we produce is great if that's the case, but I don't think we need to be setting out to assist others in other uses of materiality. But that's just a personal thought on that point.
Kevin?
Just Michael, following on just on from that, I think when the final document comes out, what would be useful is in South Africa, our regulator mandates that management compensation be disclosed within the body of the financial statements. Mm-hmm. And there's no materiality rule, and that's fine. My concern is that this it'd be helpful if the guidance explained that where there's regulatory mandated disclosure, that doesn't mean that the company's applied that same materiality across the rest of the financial statements. Otherwise, you know, we end up setting materiality the lowest common denominator rather than what's really relevant to users and what's relevant to a regulator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did receive a few comments about the interaction with local materiality, and that's certainly on the list of things for us to address. And to explain, I think, how our guidance might interact with other guidance on a sort of a general basis.
Maybe one question. If you sift through the four-step process, it starts with identifying user needs. Those user needs may exceed what IFRS requires. If I look at this this example, I'm missing forward-looking expected effective tax rate. I mean, I'm looking country by country reporting on taxes. I mean, and here we are, I think, with a very to the letter of IFRS applied example of how.
should we save this for the later discussion on the example? Any other?
Yeah, very quick. Can you shed some light on the interaction between required disclosure on standards and the application of materiality? So if something is required disclosure within a standard, how will you expect preparers to apply the concept of materiality there?
Something that I think we do already describe in the standards, but is something that is important for the practice statement to make clear, is that the requirements of standards apply to material information. Therefore, if something isn't material, then that requirement in the standard doesn't apply. And I think that is, personally, I think that is an important part of what we want to achieve with this practice statement, to make sure that people, you know, assuming the board agrees with us, sort of understand that and feel enabled to apply that in practice.
Sorry, one quick question. So this fourth step looks very helpful, especially for people who are certain countries which doesn't necessarily have this kind of, you know, clear guidance or criteria. That's agreeable. But can we go more one step further, such as, you know, providing more, you know, quantitative, you know, guidance? I think that this description feels like more qualitative and general principle. But for us to use it more practical purpose, maybe we can.
Should we hold that thought, and then that can come back when we do the report back, because we're now getting into sort of more comments on how we think this should apply. But good point. Let's bring it back when we get the reports back and discuss it then. So all happy about what we're seeking to get out of this? Right, let's go off and discuss it.